little bit on this last year and what it's brought for us. I suppose we could say the same things over and over again, how it's been a crazy year, it's been a hard year. I mean, everybody's saying that, and it's true on many levels, and maybe we'll try to resist the urge to say that one more time. But when we think about where we're at right now, the end of 2020 compared to even just our thinking, compared to what our thinking was at this time last year, right? Moving into the new year. The truth is, it's really different. The way that I think now about things it's almost unrecognizable, really, when you just compare it to a year ago. The kinds of things that you think about, maybe aspirations, anticipations of the next year, and so on. And as I think about it and have been thinking about it, I really have to confess that my attention and my focus has really been greatly challenged in this last year. And not just with everyday things like how life has been affected, you know, because of COVID and all of the different things that we have to do and are subject to, and the inconveniences, the dramatic change of everyday life. It's not just that. The elections, all of the things that have been so prominent in this year and have really grabbed attention. It's not just those things. They're ministry things that have been affected. Decisions that have needed to be made throughout the year of what do we do and how do we do it, and where should we be standing, and what principles are to guide us, and bearing the burden of those things, bearing the burden of personal things and physical life of other people. And I'm just sort of just relaying why maybe where we're at right now, if that makes sense, and the way we think about things currently because of all of this. And it's challenged my focus. It's challenged what has grabbed my attention. And we as mortals, sometimes we will make an evaluation of a particular thing, and we will put value on that thing based on how we perceive it and how we understand it. Does that make sense? Whereas somebody else won't see it exactly the same way, and there's not the same value. They don't give it the same value, but it's so important to us because of the way that we view it. And we place or assess value to a thing based on our perception of it. And I think some of that has happened in this year, which has sort of, what I'm saying is, caused some distraction in my own mind as to taking some attention away from what's actually really valuable and what's really important. And it's good for us to reflect, you know, on the last year, moving into a new year and so on, to examine our thinking and be challenged by some things. Because here's the truth of the matter: the things of God and the Word of God and the purposes of God, those things do not change. Their value has actually not changed, right? But the way we see things is what causes a change. And so tonight I want us to just take a little bit of time here and look at this passage of Scripture. I want to make some applications from it in regards to our work as the body of Christ, maybe our responsibilities to each other and so on, to help us with our focus. And something I have certainly needed to be reminded of, because we can get so out of balance with things that actually aren't really the most important things. And so let's take a look at this passage of Scripture. I'll try not to be long at all tonight. I've got some prayer letters I want to read, a video I want to show, just a short prayer update from Brother Morrison I want to show, And all that really does tie in with what we're going to talk about here tonight as well, regarding our focus, our work as a church, our responsibilities to each other, and so on. Let's look in the first verse of chapter 32, Numbers chapter 32. I'm going to read down through verse 25, so just follow along. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Aliah and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers, when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and he shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready, armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses unto the children of Israel, until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from him, before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do that which has proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Now the picture here, or the setting here, is that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, they sought for themselves their inheritance on the eastern side of Jordan. And they said that we're a people of much cattle, we've got all this possession, this land over here is a land for cattle, and it looks really good to us. We want to just settle down right here and not go over Jordan and drive out the inhabitants of the land that God promised he would give to the nation of Israel. And they came to Moses and they said, this is what we want to do. And Moses is like, wait a second here. Is it fair for you to just settle down right here and sit right here when your brethren are going to go to war and fight for their inheritance? He said in verse 6, he said, and Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and shall ye sit here? Is it fair that your brothers and sisters are going to go off to war, to fight, and to gain their inheritance while you take your ease right here? And it presents to us some interesting points and applications, really, in regards to us in our work for the Lord as a church, in regards to our responsibility to each other. And I just want to explore a few thoughts here tonight related to, well, really, what is the most important thing and what our tendency might be to leave off that which is the most important thing and become sidetracked or distracted with self-interest or other things. And just maybe just take a second to get a fresh perspective of this world and really what's important as children of God. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you just help us tonight. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would just control what I say and help me to get these thoughts across in a manner that is will connect. And Lord, it's maybe more conversational tonight. It's maybe more reflective in some ways, but I pray that you'd help us to be refocused on what is the most important thing as we move into a new year, one that is really full of uncertainty. And Lord, I pray that our mind and our heart would be laser focused on that which you have called us to do. And Lord, to not be so consumed with things that are temporal and are going to vanish away. And not to place so much value on that which will burn up. And there are important things that are certainly important and need attention and shouldn't be left undone. But none of those things should ever take the place of what the true focus ought to be for the child of God. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us as a church and as a body to not be so distracted by the things that really aren't that valuable. And I pray, Lord, for just a repurposing again of why you have left us here and, Lord, what we ought to be focused on as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe we won't get into all of the things that we could get into tonight, and we'll just stay within this passage here. But I do want to just make some very practical applications and maybe some more personal things that can relate to you as well. The first thing that I really want to draw your attention to is this. Here's the first point, is that all of God's people should have a common cause. In verse 6, and we read through verses 1 through 5, we find that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, they had all this cattle, and they wanted to settle down on the eastern side of Jordan, not to go over into the land and to really walk through the battle with the rest of the nation of Israel. And Moses says in verse 6, we read it already, "Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here?" It's almost like there are two separate views here. Moses is focused on the land and focused on driving the people out of the land like God had said to do, but yet the children of Reuben and the children of Gad were more focused on the personal self-interest side of things, that we want to just settle in right here. And Moses draws back the attention here that really you ought to have the same cause as your brethren. And the truth of the matter is, as God's people, friends, listen, we all should have a common cause. But that cause ought to be the cause of Christ. I mean, we're taking up causes these days, aren't we? And not that it's wrong to take up a cause for freedom and so on. There are some worthy causes. We're all taking up causes, but we all ought to have a common cause, and that cause ought to be the cause of Jesus Christ. The cause ought to be the souls of men more than anything else. These were 12 separate tribes, and yet they were still all brethren. They all had responsibility still to each other. And Moses calls attention to that by saying, is it all right for your brethren to go to war while you sit here? They had a responsibility to their brothers and sisters. And you know, in a church, we are a body. And it ought to function like this. The weakening or strengthening of one should be the weakening or strengthening of the whole. We are not separate, isolated unto ourselves. But God has placed us in this body as it has pleased Him for the benefit of the whole body. And each has a part to play, but each is responsible to each other. And I'm thinking about the setting here and imagining this army, this nation of Israel moving forward to go to war. How depleted would their forces be if all of a sudden all the fighting men of 2.5 tribes was suddenly gone? Not only would it be depleting in their resources, but it would also be discouraging to the brethren. And Moses highlights that they all still needed to be involved in the cause. Many people's cause, the thing that they give their life and attention to, is only personal or self-interest. These two tribes said, we're people of cattle. We've got lots of cattle and this is good for us. And their focus was really on what was good for them. Shall your brethren go to war and ye sit here? Should not every one of us be concerned and active in the things that are the most important and valuable, the things concerning the kingdom of God? Should it not be? I mean, I don't think that that's always the way it is, and I'm just as guilty. We can very easily become distracted. We can very easily become self-focused in many ways, and those things become the valuable things or the important things because this is what's happening in my life, and we can lose track of the thing that ought to be the common cause. And maybe it's time that we started putting some good spiritual pressure on each other. Like Hebrews 10 talks about provoking one another to love and to good works. I think we can make excuses. Well, because the times are difficult and this is unique situations and all of these things, and we can maybe justify that in some way, but that can easily become an excuse, right, for not being challenged and being provoked into the thing that really ought to be our common cause. And so, first of all, we look here, we see that all of God's people should have a common cause. Secondly, though, we look at these verses, and we see in verses 1 through 5 that putting self-interest first is actually a danger to the Lord's work. In verses 1 through 5, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, they had these great multitudes of cattle. They looked and they saw that the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead was a place for their cattle, and they went unto the princes of the congregation. They went and talked to Moses, and they said, all of this land that isn't even in the land of promise, the land that God promised to give, we want to just stay right here. And why? Because we're people of cattle. It looked good for them. And that provides a principle for us that putting self-interest first is a danger to the Lord's work. They said that the land of Jazer and Gilead was just what they wanted. They wanted to settle down there and not go over Jordan. They were just going to leave the others to sort of fend for themselves. And I would say this to you tonight, friend, that it's a shame for us to be settling down into this temporal life. You know, we're saved. Praise the Lord. We benefit from church. We benefit from living in America. We've got good incomes. We've got lots of entertainment. We've got all of these things that are so tied to this temporal life. And we have all of these benefits, and it's very easy for us, for our focus, to get turned into self-interest rather than the work of the Lord. We become content with the status quo of going about our spiritual routines, benefiting from all the things that we are blessed with. And then all of those, like whether it's the preaching and the teaching and the benefit of a New Testament church and having good doctrine and all of the things that God provides for us, even physically, we benefit from all of those, but then we fall out of ranks when it comes to being aggressive workers for the souls of men, which is actually the Lord's work. Are you with me here? The self-interest becomes a danger to the Lord's work. Or we become so distracted with current events that it draws us away from the thing that the Lord finds to be the most valuable thing. Pretty soon we've got a church full of people that are content with the routines, with the status quos, and there's very few who are actually aggressively seeking the souls of men for Christ, which is the thing that should be the cause. I don't know, maybe God intends to use maybe one of the reasons or one of the purposes of God in all of this stuff that's happening in our country, around the world, with COVID, etc. Maybe one of the purposes is that God wants to use it to refocus God's people on that which is really the most important. All the government changes that are happening and maybe will happen in 2021 that completely transform our life, we could resist it and fight against it, and we should to some degree within the system that we have for sure. But all of the things that might come that will be inconveniences or restrictions against God's people, maybe even targeted persecution against God's people, maybe the Lord wants to use all of that to refocus us on what's really important. Because we've been so blessed and we've been so we've had such an easy life as Americans that everything gets turned into self-interest, and all of it is still temporal. And we become so tied to this temporal life. We had men's prayer meeting, or some of us met last night to pray, which I'm going to highly encourage you men, come next Tuesday night to the prayer meeting. It was very good, very spiritually minded, very spiritually focused. It was very encouraging. We did a lot of talking. We did some praying, and it was just an encouraging time for us to be challenged. But one of the things that was brought up in conversation was that in communist China, before communism took over everything and before communism came rushing in, there was an element of Christianity. But it was after communism came rushing into communist China that the church flourished, even though it was underground. Why does that happen? You remember back in the book of Acts and the church at Jerusalem? Thousands saved. But upon the persecution, they went everywhere preaching the word. And what happened when they went everywhere preaching the word? The gospel started going into the regions beyond. And what happened? By the time you get to Acts chapter 11, you see churches have sprung up all over the place. Maybe that's what God intends to do. Amen? Because we need it. Because self-interest can be a danger to the work of the Lord. We see, look at verse 7. Not only should we have a common cause, and not only is self-interest a danger to the work of the Lord, but self-interest actually discourages others. Because verse 7, and wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. And Moses goes on to say that your fathers did the same thing in discouraging the people of Israel. And now you've taken their place and you have yet again brought up potentially the anger of the Lord against the people of God. I think there are many ways that we can bring discouragement to others in the work of the Lord. There might be some who are trying their best, who are trying to be joyful and to try to be focused on the cause, and they look around and they see that very few are doing the same thing. Because most are pretty much just interested in themselves or their own life. Maybe there's indifference and complacency towards that which is spiritual, and there's more emphasis and focus on that which is temporal. That can become discouraging to the people of God. That's what self-interest does when we're not about the common cause. By the time you get down to verse 23, look at verse 23, we see what all of this actually really is. Moses says, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Not being involved in the cause is actually a sin against the Lord. Idleness or neglect, neglecting to do our part to focus on what the Lord finds to be of value, having a self-interest is actually a sin against the Lord. I think the evidence of really what our focus is in how we live. If one is self-focused or there's self-interest, who maybe they say they serve the Lord or they're involved, but they don't really, I think it's evidenced in cowardice, for example, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I'm not going to speak up. I'm not going to say anything for the Lord because I'm more concerned about what people think of me or if people think I'm weird or not. Cowardly. It might evidence itself in indifference. It doesn't seem to be much interest in that which is spiritual. I'm more interested in that which is temporal. It might evidence itself in worldliness, in the way that we present ourselves and so on. The point is, though, whatever it is, not being involved in the cause is actually a sin against the Lord. The Lord's given us a purpose. The Lord has purchased us with His own blood. The Lord has given us a purpose for life. And I would say that we can serve in times past and we can be active in the work of the Lord, and there might come a point in time where things begin to change and maybe we feel like, well, we've done our part, or we feel like, what's the point or what's the use? Whatever the case may be. Here's the truth of the matter. There's always still more to do. And there's never a time when we've done enough. It's not okay for us to just sit back or settle in this temporal life. That's not the reason that the Lord allows us to breathe His air. Amen? We're to be servants of Christ. He's purchased us with His own blood. He owns us. He has given us a job to do. And we need to be reminded of what our focus ought to be. I have become very distracted at times with the things that are going on and have put so much value into it, because it is important on some level, but it should never be more important than the cause of Christ. And Moses talks to these two tribes, and he says, if you don't do this, if you're not involved in the cause, behold, you've sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. But we do find another principle, an encouraging one, in verses 20 to 22. And we find that, here, let's read it in verse 20. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. The point or the principle here that I draw out is that devotion to the cause or to the work of the Lord actually secures us present blessings. Devotion to the cause or to the work of the Lord now, like if we give our life and our attention and our focus to the cause of Christ, that actually secures for us present blessings in this life. Moses says, if you'll do this thing, and if you'll be a part of it, and if you go over and you fight with your brothers and sisters, then afterward, you're going to be guiltless before the Lord and before your brethren, and this land will be your blessing. The sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, they were to have their possession on the eastern side of Jordan, but the condition was that they needed to pass over and help their brethren fight. Let me make this application. The reason why many Christians have struggled, myself included, at various times in this year with all of the harassing, and it is harassing, and it is inconvenient, and I don't want to wear a mask, and I don't want to be told what to do, especially when it's stupid. Right? We've all felt that way. And ultimately, it kind of consumes the thoughts, and it's like the thing that just is always on the mind, and think about it every day, and then we start to grate inside. And then I get an attitude when I go someplace with somebody because they're going to try to enforce this thing. And I'm going to tell them, buzz off, meathead, you know, kind of a thing. And I don't use the word meathead. I actually say worse things to other people, but no, I'm kidding. I did lose it one time. I don't know if I told you this or not, but I did lose it. Well, I've lost it more than once, actually. Amen. One time I was defending my daughter, though, and I told the guy, I literally told the guy to back off or he was going to get it. And another time I yelled at a flight attendant. I'm not going to tell you all my sins, but there have been times when it's just great inside and it consumes the thoughts and causes Christian people to struggle through all of this, which ends up resulting in us not having joy in our heart because our focus is all turned to something that is temporal and we've put so much emphasis and value on this thing that we've lost sight of what actually is the most important thing. And the reason why many Christians have struggled is because we've become distracted and our focus and our priority has gotten away from the cause of Christ to a thing that is going to end up burning up anyway. Yeah, are you following me here? And I think it's evidenced by all the complaining that I do about the current events. Rather than focusing on the eternal, the cause of Christ, the souls of men, it has started to bother me much more recently that it's been a while since we've seen somebody saved. Has that bothered you? Or is it more of a bother that I can't go into Costco without being harassed for wearing a mask, you know, if I don't wear a mask, which I just don't go into Costco anymore. But you understand what I'm saying? That's a thing that's become more of a bother to me and I haven't even thought about or been burdened about that it's been a while since we saw somebody saved. Is that okay? I think we lose sight of what is the most important and we lose our joy. We focus on the temporal and we lose our peace. We find the abundant Christian life that Christ came to give only in a life that is really lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is, there's so much more joy in serving the Lord than to try to hold on to something that's fleeting. You know, current problems become less important when our main concern is actually furthering the kingdom of Christ. Temporal things become mountains. Temporal things become real problems to those who've become introverted or who have ceased in their understanding of what is actually the most important thing. And don't get me wrong. Our country is absolutely important. Praying for our country and praying for our president is absolutely important. And it's a cause that is just. However, there needs to be balance in all of those things. And that thing that is temporal should never be more important than the work of the Lord. And maybe it's time that we were shaken up and stirred again because we've been missing something. And the Lord is going to say, here's how I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to mess your temporal life up because it doesn't actually matter that much compared to eternity. And I guess the question is that we need to ask ourselves is, where has my focus been? Have I become distracted? What has been consuming me? What is really the most important thing? And am I really doing my part in serving the Lord? I mentioned we had prayer meeting last night, and I'm telling you, I had a great time. I had a great time praying with the men because it was encouraging and it was very spiritually focused and it was something that was feeding my soul. And the thought came up as well in our conversations that the thing that we feed into us the most, right, is the thing that's really going to consume us. And if we're just feeding in the current events and we're feeding in the news and we're feeding in the, you know, all of the underlying things and the what people call conspiracy theories but are actually probably true, and we're just feeding ourselves with all of these things, that's what's going to consume us. And what we need to do is feed our soul. And we need to keep feeding and encouraging the brethren on what's the most important thing, and how this is an opportunity right here that the Lord is giving for us to reach the souls of men. What will 2020 bring? That is the giant question mark that everybody has. I don't know. And it might just get worse, and people's plans for life and ambition and wealth and all that they want to bring to themselves, all that might just go right in the tank because it's so temporal. And I'm saying we better not be so tied to this world. We need to be refocusing back to our purpose. What is our purpose? It ought to be evangelism. And you know, there's a lot of things that have changed in our ministries because of this, and they may continue to be that way. Our focus on corporate evangelism, our Great Commission days that we have had in the past that we haven't had in a year now or so, it's been a year. It may not come back because of the way things are. But does that mean that evangelism should stop or cease? No, it just means that personal evangelism ought to be paramount in your life and in mine. The sphere of influence that you have, the place that the people that you know, that God has planted you there. And we talked about this last night too, that each individual, there are people that you could reach that I never could. And there are people that I could reach that you never will. But that's got to become a personal thing for me, that I am going to be involved in the cause of Christ. And the Lord is creating opportunities in people's lives through all of this, an opportunity to give an answer for the hope that lieth within us. We need to pray for one another, encourage one another in the area of personal evangelism. We should pray for our digital outreach as well. I'm sending out another Facebook ad tomorrow. Pray that the Lord uses it. I'll read this prayer letter to you here in just a little bit from Brother Hammett in South Africa, but he states in there that their digital outreach has never been more powerful or stronger than it is right now. And a lot of it has to do with COVID. And he states that it's not a substitute for personal, you know, face-to-face, one-on-one. He said, but it's been a huge key to getting the gospel in front of people. We need to just be looking and using every resource that we can. And why would we be doing that? Because evangelism is our focus, right? The souls of men, the cause of Christ, our focus. Pray for that. Have you given much thought to it, to pray for it? You know, what's really consuming, all consuming in our hearts and our minds these days? Well, the prayer is that the Lord will help me to refocus, that I don't get distracted or lose sight of what's the most important thing. Keep the main thing, amen. And not neglect or leave the other things undone. But I think that if we look back on the way that we think now compared to how we were thinking a year ago, we say, man, that's so different. And all the things that have happened, man, a year ago feels like forever ago to me. It feels like something a long, long time ago. And we can easily be distracted, and maybe we have been, and it's time to refocus. Amen? Just some personal things sharing with you tonight, more conversational than anything else, but maybe there's some things that have hit home with you as well. And we need to ask the Lord to help us. Lord, I don't want to be so tied to this world. Amen? I want to be focused on what you think is valuable. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us not to be discouraged or disheartened, but to be re-energized and encouraged and to be refocused on what's the most important thing, the cause of Christ, the kingdom of God, the souls of men. And forgive us for being so distracted and consumed with that which is temporal. And Lord, we do have a cause in freedom and so on in our country, and not just for our own personal benefit, but for people to flourish and prosper. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be balanced in all of that, though, that come what may, the Lord's will be done. This world is not my home. Lord, your grace will be sufficient no matter what. I still want to be focused on the fact that I'm to serve the Lord with the time that we have. And Lord, I pray that that would be the heart of this church and people in general, to not walk around complaining or grumbling at all of the inconsistencies and that which is unfair and that which is unconstitutional and so on. Those are important things, but they're not the most important thing. And may we not lose sight of what that is and lose our joy because we're so tied to this temporal life. More and more all the time, it's exciting that the Lord could be returning very soon, that this world is not my home, and that the time of our departure may be at hand, and we're going to stand before the Lord, we're going to see Him face to face, and that ought to bring joy and a thrill to the child of God that we're living in days that are unprecedented in many ways, and the return of the Lord really could be in my lifetime. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be diligent so that we might be found faithful when you come. In Jesus' name, amen.